This is Main Street on Prairie Public. I'm Doug Hamilton, joined now by Dr. Donald Warren. He's with UND's Indian Into Medicine program. He's the director of it, and he joins us from our microphone in Grand Forks. Thanks for being with us, Dr. Warren.
Very happy to be here.
We're here to talk about the University of North Dakota's first doctorate in Indigenous Health. As a matter of fact, the first in the world from the sound of it. How did this come to be?
This is a project I've been working on for a number of years, recognizing that there are unique health issues that Indigenous populations face, and much of that is related to a common history of colonization for Indigenous populations around the world. And we see very similar patterns of health disparities and similar patterns of social determinants of health, and also some very unique research needs and research considerations. So this is something I've been working on for quite a number of years, and we were able to officially roll it out and get it approved in January by the State Board of Higher Education.
Well, having had some experience in higher education and the rolling out of new programs, I know there are a lot of hoops to jump through. So you're done with that, I take it.
Yeah, and actually today the admissions page went live, so students could officially apply to the PhD as of today.
Is this a better late than never kind of development?
That's a good way to put it. Yeah, I think there's been a pent-up need for this type of programming. We recognize that there are significant health disparities in a number of populations around the United States and around the world, but there has not been a focused attention on Indigenous health disparities, but also solutions, looking at research solutions, how research is conducted, evaluating Indigenous health programs, and compiling that into a doctorate-level training. And we know there is a pent-up need for this. I just talked to the graduate school today, and we've already had inquiries from 263 potential students.
Heavens to Betsy, because you've got a limited number of spots to fill, 12 as I believe.
Yes, so I think our initial cohort is going to be quite tremendous because the desire for the program is there. And again, we're just happy to be the first one out the door to offer this type of programming, but I hope other universities follow suit.
How will the selections be handled? I mean, is this purely for Indigenous students or is there some sort of other test?
No, we want anyone to apply who is interested in this topic and committed to working with Indigenous populations. So one of the things that we're very pleased about is we have a lot of applicants who are not Indigenous themselves but are committed to working with the populations and identifying solutions. So much like we have some public health programs focused on international health or global health, there's really no litmus test for race or ethnicity going into the programming. It really is the degree of commitment to addressing the challenges. And in terms of ranking the students, it is a post-master's PhD, so students already have to have a master's degree. So we'll be looking at graduate GPA, we'll be looking at the personal statement and research statement experience, and how they articulate their long-term goals for the training.
Well, it sounds like there was some real pent-up demand, and you're going to be able to pick the cream of the crop.
Yeah, this is really tremendous. We had an initial listserv of about 70 students that I'd compiled over the last few years, just talking about the idea at various meetings and conferences. But it's kind of ballooned quite a bit since that time frame.
Well, these students have financial assistance beyond what is currently available to a grad student?
There's a few options. So if they are American Indian in the U.S., there is the American Indian Graduate Center, and they have a website, and they offer scholarships to American Indian graduate students. There's several other scholarship programs that they can apply for. And if they are on campus, they can become a research assistant, a teaching assistant, or a graduate assistant in some other capacity. And then they are able to get paid and get some tuition waived if they work with us. So the curriculum will be available both in distance formats as well as on-campus formats. So a little bit of both.
UND has long had this Indians Into Medicine program. And, of course, that's doctors and health professionals in that applied field, if you will. How does this differ? It's a doctorate in indigenous public health, I take it.
Exactly. So the InMed program works with the various clinical health sciences, so medicine, occupational therapy, physical therapy, physician assistantship. We have a sister program called RAIN, which is recruiting and retaining American Indians in nursing with the School of Nursing. So InMed primarily is focused on developing clinicians, and we certainly need more clinicians. There's quite a shortfall. And very quickly about InMed, Indians into Medicine, it's been in place since 1973.
Wow.
So the first year class of InMed students are the class of 2023. So they're actually the 50-year anniversary class of InMed. Just wonderful outcome.
All right. Well, who will teach the new courses for the doctorate in Indigenous health?
Well, I'm very pleased to say that over the last now less than 2 years, we've hired 5 new Indigenous health scholars. So I'll be teaching in the program. So I'm Lakota, originally from Pine Ridge, South Dakota, my MD from Stanford, and my Master of Public Health from Harvard. We also have Siobhan Westcott. She's Athabascan from Alaska. She has her MD from Harvard and her Master of Public Health from UCLA. We have Dr. Melanie Nadu. She has her PhD and MPH from University of Minnesota, and she's a member of the Turtle Mountain Band of Chippewa Indians. We also have Dr. Nicole Redvers. She is Dene from Northern Territories in Canada. She's a naturopathic physician and has a Master of Public Health from Dartmouth. And we have finally Dr. Ursula Runningbear. She has a PhD in clinical science and a master's degree in sociology, and she's a research methodologist. So with our 5 new Indigenous health faculty, we have combined nearly 100 years of experience in Indigenous health.
I worked in the Minnesota colleges and university system for several years, and there were graduates of Harvard's PhD program at the White Earth Reservation, for example. So that seems to suggest that there has long been a realization, at least in the Ivy League schools, that there was a need to really provide a higher education outcome of some quality for Native Americans.
Yeah, and several schools are really committed to this, and it's even in the charter for Harvard and Dartmouth to educate American Indians. So what's wonderful, 3 of the 5 Indigenous scholars are Ivy League alums, and the other 2 have gone to outstanding schools in both Colorado and Arizona.
How will the curriculum reflect the Indigenous health focus? That is the curriculum for this new doctorate in Indigenous health.
Yeah, there's 4 areas of focus. One is research, then there's also evaluation, leadership, and policy. In terms of research, it is methods heavy. We do need more well-conducted research in American Indian and other Indigenous populations. And historically, the research agenda is really set by the researchers. They develop a hypothesis regarding a health issue, then pitch the idea to a tribe, for example. And if the tribe agrees to participate, they call it community-based participatory research. But in truth, it really isn't. We should have the communities driving the research agendas. So that's a big part of the curriculum, is looking at research methods from quantitative levels, qualitative research, mixed methods research, but then also Indigenous research methods. We've been doing research for thousands of years. We just had different terminology for it. And finally, also looking at the process of developing tribally driven research agendas.
Well, Indigenous knowledge of treatment might be part of the curriculum then, I take it.
Absolutely. We have various fascinating modules. So, for example, the Indigenous peoples of this area have been using willow bark as a tea for thousands of years. And any idea what medication comes from willow bark?
Aspirin.
Exactly. Acetyl salicylic acid has been used as a willow bark tea for thousands of years until Bayer, quote, discovered it and then took it over as aspirin. But yeah, so we've been using it as a tea. What's fascinating, the scientists will call it an aqueous solution, but it's basically a tea. And that's what we use as a medicine. There's other traditional medicines like chokeberries that have wonderful anti-inflammatory effects, and echinacea, and many other types of traditional Indigenous foods and medicines that will be incorporated into some of the training modules.
There are some health issues that have been particularly of concern in tribal environments: diabetes, heart disease, substance abuse, suicide. So any research in this obviously would have some practical applications within that population. But how about the greater population learning from this as well?
Yeah, I think that's an important component in that we need to ensure that the general population is more aware of some of the root causes of some of the health disparities. And in my own experience as a clinician, I am a family physician, and I've seen circumstances in which my colleagues kind of blame the patient or blame the community for social ills and poor outcomes. And in truth, when we look at the chronic health conditions like diabetes, heart disease, and cancer, or some of the mental health considerations like addiction, depression, and suicide, much of that is related to unresolved trauma. We have historical trauma, adverse childhood experiences, forced relocation and boarding school participation, in which there was a lot of abuse, unfortunately. So we've had generations and generations of Indigenous people who have suffered through various types of traumas, and the outcome is poor health, unfortunately. So part of the curriculum is to identify those root causes of health challenges, but even more importantly, to identify solutions. How do we prevent trauma in the next generation, and how do we mitigate the impact in the current generation?
Well, it seems that sort of broader application also suggests that public health needs to extend beyond the physical and mental health issues, because these problems can correlate directly to poverty and discrimination.
Yeah, we see all kinds of social determinants of health related to poverty, as you mentioned, discrimination and marginalization, but also underfunded educational systems, inadequate housing, inadequate workforce development. They're all linked to public health. And from a more holistic perspective, we recognize that anything that promotes wellness promotes health, and anything that diverts from wellness can cause health inequities. So that is all integrated into the curriculum. And what I'm hoping is that other universities take this on as well. As we know, there's a huge pent-up need for the programming, and one university alone cannot resolve all of the issues for the entire world. So I would be happy to see other universities work in this space. And I think that historically the challenge is that we have not had diversity among health professions, education, leadership. So for just a quick example, guess how many American Indians are deans of a medical school?
I think, you're one.
No, I'm an associate dean.
Associate dean, okay.
There's actually zero deans.
Well, that's a place to go to then. That might be where some of these students with doctorates in Indigenous health will go to work.
That's exactly right.
In public health universities or tribal centers, where do you expect the first wave of these graduates to go to work?
Yeah, they'll have a lot of options. So we have both an academic track as well as an applied track. And the academic track, that's the traditional PhD with the dissertation. And I anticipate those graduates will go on to universities and will become academics. They'll become researchers and professors at universities all over the world. For the applied track, that's for people who would rather stay in their home communities, and they might become health director, they might become health system CEO or hospital or clinic CEO in the local communities. So they will have training in leadership and advocacy in addition to research methods. So they'll have a lot of options ahead of them.
Well, you've mentioned several times the potential for increased research involvement here. More people in the field of study would certainly suggest that that will generate more research funding.
Yes, and we're already in process of developing an Indigenous Trauma and Resilience Research Center. We just submitted a large grant proposal to the National Institutes of Health just within the last couple of weeks. And with this particular research center, we'll be looking at the impact of unresolved trauma on health disparities, but also identifying areas of strength and resilience that can improve health outcomes.
Now, many countries have Indigenous populations, Canada, Mexico, Finland, and the Scandinavian with the Samis. Mm-hmm. Will the UND program offer opportunities for natives from other nations?
Interesting you should ask that. So over this past year and a half, I actually went to Norway and visited the University of Tromsø, which is the Norwegian Arctic University, and they have the Sami Institute for Health Research, and they are a partner in our processes.
Ah.
I've also been to Australia. There's a number of universities there that are collaborating with us, also universities in New Zealand, as well as Guam and American Samoa, and of course throughout Canada. So yes, it will have an international focus. And when we look at indigenous populations, if we think of this just from a genetic perspective, all of humanity originated in Africa, and then there were waves of migrations across the globe. And it's those original inhabitants of various parts of the globe are the indigenous peoples. But then over the last several hundred years, we've seen significant waves of colonization coming out of primarily Western Europe. And the colonized populations tend to suffer from the same types of health disparities, whether it's diabetes, heart disease, or mental health conditions. So we'll characterize that from a global perspective.
Yeah, and of course, it's not just indigenous populations that suffer from those issues. So again, the possibility of improving research and making it apply and you know, seeing the benefits would benefit the world.
I agree. And anywhere there are disparities in health outcomes and health status, I think the scholarship that will be generated out of this program will be applicable to a number of populations.
Well, when this was first announced as the world's first doctorate in indigenous health, I Googled it, of course, and I found other programs that seemed to suggest they were similar. But this is a growth industry from the looks of it.
Yeah, so when we think about the topic areas, there are several doctorates in indigenous studies, and that's not what this is. So indigenous studies programs quite frequently look at things through the lens of anthropology, and we're not looking at this as a way to study and characterize culture. We're looking at this as a mechanism to identify health challenges, but more importantly, identify and implement solutions and test those solutions for their outcomes. So it's above and beyond observational anthropology. This is interventional public health. There's a very similar program in Toronto, a very good program, but it's not offered online. You actually have to move to Toronto in order to be in that program. So this is very unique in that it's available online. It's focused specifically on indigenous health through that lens, and it's led by five well-trained indigenous health scholars, so very unique internationally.
Before you went full-time at the University of North Dakota with the InMed program, you were the professor and chair of the Department of Public Health at NDSU. So you've had leadership positions at North Dakota's two research universities. How do you envision future collaboration between NDSU and UND on public health research?
We've had a very good collaborative working relationship since the inception of the program, is about 8 years ago. And since that time frame, we have what's called a coordinating council. So the department chairs, deans, directors meet quarterly and focus on areas of collaboration. And I see real significant opportunities for increased collaboration by incorporating some of the principles of indigenous health into the curriculum at NDSU, and they certainly have areas of expertise that could be incorporated into the curriculum here. So I look at it as an incredible opportunity to expand upon existing collaborations.
Governor Doug Burgum gave your new doctoral program a shout out in his State of the State address. Do you have political support from him, and for that matter from North Dakota's congressional delegation, to secure additional funding to build indigenous health resources? Do you anticipate sort of money coming your way because of that?
Absolutely. And I think that we're very fortunate here in North Dakota, particularly on that front. One, I've worked a lot with Governor Burgum and the First Lady. I've presented at some of her initiatives focus on reinventing recovery and looking at recovery programs and taking away the stigma from addiction and focusing on holistic health in communities. So I really enjoy working with both of them. In addition, Senator Hoven is the chair of the Senate Committee on Indian Affairs. So he's in a very important position from the federal level in terms of Indian affairs. And I had mentioned we had just submitted this large center grant to establish the Indigenous Trauma and Resilience Research Center. We got letters of support from Senator Hoven, Governor Burgum, even from the mayor right here in Grand Forks, as well as a multitude of tribes. So I think we have very good political support, the federal level, state level, local level, and tribal level.
So we might hear and see you testifying in the Senate regarding some issues that relate to this, I take it.
Yeah, and I've done that a couple of times. There was a field hearing in Bismarck back, I believe it was 2016 or so, and I provided testimony at that field hearing, and it was focused on childhood trauma. So much of the area of focus is also rooted in community-identified issues issues and challenges. And there was also an Indigenous Workforce Senate Committee meeting in D.C. just several months ago. I testified there as well. So I feel like I have a very good working relationship with the Senate Committee on Indian Affairs. And again, in North Dakota, we're very fortunate to have Senator Hovind as chair of that committee.
And the state also, of course, has a diverse tribal population, which provides a sort of, if you will, laboratory for research and development.
Yeah, and I look at the communities really as our partners. And what I'd love to see is building more capacity around research. And I think that historically, the research opportunities have looked at the tribes more from the perspective of laboratories rather than partners.
Uh-huh.
And what I would really like to see is building out those capacities and having even stronger relationships with faculty at the tribal colleges and doing community-driven and collaborative research as well as program evaluation.
So you'll be moving around the state talking to tribal leaders, I take it.
I was just in Newtown last week, and I'll be there again in 2 weeks. So, yeah, I know these highways very well.
How do you think this doctoral program will have impacted Indigenous health in 10 years?
What I'm hoping to see by 10 years from now, we'll have, at that point, 7 cohorts of graduates. Mm. And what I would love to see on the academic side is more culturally relevant and meaningful research that's focused on community-driven outcomes. If we expand that body of scholarship, that could lead to more programming and more resources into solving the health issues, not just characterizing the health issues. In addition, I would love to see cohorts of our graduates as tribal health directors, as tribal college presidents, as clinic and hospital CEOs. And many of them, I'm sure, will even establish their own consulting businesses. They could be program evaluators and work with a multitude of communities around the globe. So I'm hoping to see measurable and meaningful impact within 10 years.
Dr. Donald Warren is Associate Dean of the Medical School at UND and Director of the University's Indian Into Medicine Program. Thank you for spending some time with us.
I appreciate the consideration.
Dakota Datebook is next.